Now, I mentioned earlier that I'm going to need some help from you guys this morning. Okay, you guys know how to say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it was okay. That wasn't great. I'm going to need a little bit more help than that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. See, you know I need some help. There you go. That's better. Now, if I say anything that you agree with, and obviously I hope that you agree with a lot of the stuff this morning, but if I say something you agree with or that especially hits home with you today, I want you to feel free to say amen. It's okay. You're not going to get struck down. It doesn't mean that you're more spiritual than anybody else because you say amen louder. That doesn't have anything to do with it. I want to make sure that you're hearing what the Word says this morning. I want to make sure you're there. I mentioned earlier I was going to be talking about wisdom and talking about Proverbs and kind of do an introduction to that. That's good stuff. I mean, there's good truth and good teaching there. There you go. You're on it. You know. There you go. That's good stuff. But the thing is, we're at a point in our lives. If you've been watching the news at all, you know we're kind of at a point as a nation, and we're just at a place where there's a lot of uncertainty in the world, isn't there? There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. There's uncertainty in the stock market. There's uncertainty in the housing market, gas prices. There's uncertainty in our physical bodies, in our jobs, in healthcare. There's uncertainty in investments, in the strength of the dollar, in unemployment rates, in heating costs, in the safety of our land from terrorists. There's uncertainty in our lives. We live at a place, we live in a country, we live at a place in our lives right now where there is a great amount of uncertainty. But do these things rule us? Do these things that have uncertainty in them, in our lives, do they make us uncertain as well? Do they cause us to question our own faith, to question our own lives, to question our own decisions? Do we allow them to play such a part in our lives, in our thinking, in our hearts, that they draw us to a place that as believers in Jesus Christ, we should not be? I hope not. I hope not. It's okay to be concerned with these things, but it's not okay to be ruled by them. It's okay to be concerned about the uncertainty of life. It's not okay for that uncertainty to cloud our judgment, to rule our hearts, and to rule our faith. It does not play that part in our lives. It should not. And we can't allow it to. Let's start in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start here in Philippians chapter 4. We're actually going to end up in Philippians chapter 4 at the end. So when I tell you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, you know we're wrapping up. I might have a ways to go. I'm surprised I didn't get an amen on that one. Philippians chapter 4, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, those four short books right there about the middle of the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." You see that? Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Paul says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." You have heard the Word of God preached about stress, about trust in God, about strength in the Lord, about our hope in God, about worry of God being our anchor in times of trouble. And we can agree with all of that. We can agree with that truth all day long. Verbally. But if our lives and our hearts don't put it into practice in uncertain times in which we live today, if our hearts and lives don't put it into practice, then we really aren't agreeing with it. So we can say, amen, you put your trust in the Lord. Amen, praise the Lord. I put my trust in the Lord. But if uncertain times put us at a point where our faith is shaken and we believe that God's not going to help us through, are we truly putting our trust in God? Paul says, these things that you've heard, these things that I've taught you, these things that I've showed you, put them into practice. Put them into practice. Let's look at the Old Testament. Go to Psalm chapter 146. Psalms 146. Let's see a little bit of truth about God. We're going to find here a little bit of certainty in the midst of the uncertainty that we're surrounded by in our lives. Psalm 146, we'll start at verse 5. Psalm 146, verse 5. It says, "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Amen. This is truth. This is certainty. The Lord reigns forever. Not only does he reign forever, but he reigns in a way in which he cares for those in need. Amen? Is that true? Do you see the certainty that is there in that? It's something that we can count on. It's something that we can count on every time. It doesn't fluctuate. It doesn't change based on the markets. It doesn't change on base how people are doing. That truth remains forever. It doesn't waver. When our faith is in uncertainty, our lives are going to be uncertain. When our faith is in certainty, our lives are going to have certainty. And so as we put our trust in the Lord, as we hold on to he who reigns forever, we have certainty and consistency in our lives. And where we can be concerned about all the stuff that's happening in the world today, we don't have to be ruled by it. But rather, we're ruled by our God who reigns forever. Amen? We're ruled by our God who reigns forever. Turn over also. Stay in Psalms. Go to Psalm chapter 18. In Psalm 18, we're going to find some, again, certainty, consistency, and strength of God. Psalm 18, we're going to look at the first two verses. Psalm 18, 1 and 2. David says, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies." Do you see that consistency and that certainty that we find in God? He's my rock, my fortress, my salvation. He's my shield, my strength. God continues to be that no matter what happens in the world. He continues to be a rock. You can choose if he's your rock or not, but he continues to be a rock. He continues to be a stronghold. He continues to be a fortress, a horn of salvation. God continues to be that strength, ready to be able to help you in life. Ready to bring that support, that security, to meet the needs that you have in your life in all areas. financially, physically, your physical body, your emotions, just the way mentally you deal with things. God is there and ready to be your rock and your strength and your fortress and your shield and your horn of salvation. He's there ready for you to do those things. But you have to proclaim in your life, not just with your words, but with your actions, God is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my shield. He's my horn of salvation. You see that? You with me? You guys with me? God is there. He's consistent. He's certain every time. But you choose whether He's consistent for you. That's a choice you are allowed and encouraged to make. Let's turn to Proverbs, the first book after Psalms. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. The writer of Proverbs kind of lays out an illustration for us here about our paths being straight. Everybody here own a car? At least somebody in your family owns a car. You drive it. The bank owns it. Keep paying on that one. Okay? We all own cars. The illustration is that God will make our path straight. He'll not only show us the way that we are to live as we open His Word, He'll give us that direction. He doesn't command us. He doesn't hardwire us as robots that we have to follow it. But He says, this is the straight path. So He makes our way straight. As we trust in Him and follow Him and His Word, He makes our path straight. Okay? He makes our path straight. You get that? You get that illustration? That straight path, we'll call it a straight road. God makes it straight. And we can look as far as we can see. It's straight. And there it is. Okay? But we have a responsibility to stay on that straight road. You and I control where the car's going. We've got the straight road in front of us, and you and I are at the driver's seat. And we're the ones that control if we're staying on that road or not. But turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm not making this up. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, we find a word that, in my opinion, perfectly fits with this illustration of having that straight road and relying on it and the part that we play in it. Hebrews chapter 10. The writer of Hebrews goes through Jesus being that perfect sacrifice for us. Hebrews is an awesome book. He goes through and talks about this perfect way that we have for this great relationship that's available to us with God through Jesus Christ. And in chapter 10, verse 19, he basically sums up the whole first 10.5 chapters by saying in Hebrews 10:19, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God," and those two verses, he wraps up the whole first 10.5 chapters, because those are the points that he's making. We have a way in which we can enter the throne room of God. We have a way in which we're able to have a relationship with God, and that's through Jesus Christ. We have a great high priest, and it's Christ. In verse 22, then, he says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." Now let's especially look at verse 23. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Listen to this wording. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You know what word stands out there to me? As we're thinking about this illustration of a straight road? Unswervingly. You know what it is to swerve? We use that word almost exclusively in talking about driving. Something's in the road, you swerve around it. I don't encourage non-cautious swerving. Okay, that's not what this message is about. We're not talking about non-cautious swerving. He says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. We see that as we acknowledge God, He makes our path straight. God lays out for us this straight road. And in Hebrews, we're encouraged to hold unswervingly. Unswervingly. We've got this straight road, and we're told, don't swerve. You've got a hope. You have a hope. Don't swerve. Amen. The road is straight. The road is straight. But we have an enemy. We have an adversary. And he is doing everything he can to mess up that road. He said, we're driving, it's a straight road. And we're told, hold unswervingly. Don't swerve. Straight road. Don't swerve. And the adversary's in front of us, and he's laying down speed bumps. And he's digging out potholes. And he's putting up signs that say, road closed, do not advance, turn back. And he's throwing skunks in there for good measure. Do you see the picture? You see the picture of that? That road is straight, and we're told, don't swerve. And the adversary is doing everything he can to mess up that road. It remains straight, but there's bumps in the road, aren't there? It remains straight, but we still live in a world of uncertainty. And there's signs that say, turn back, this isn't the right way. He's digging potholes that you feel like your car's going to fall into. You see, here's the thing. We get so focused on that stuff that the adversary's throwing at us, we lose sight of the fact that the road's straight. And we're told, don't swerve. And we see the pothole. Off we go. I think the problem is we feel like we're driving a subcompact. I do. I think that's the problem. You know what a subcompact is?
Yes.
It's a wee little car. It's this wee little car. And we think that we're driving, in our faith, we think we're just driving on the straight road and there's all these potholes and we're in this tiny car. And it's got three good tires and most of them, they're kind of bald. And the spare's on it. You feel like, you know, if I turn on the windshield wipers, if I'm going too fast, they're going to just shoot off the car. You ever have cars like that? Maybe you've never had cars like that. I never had a car like that. I had a friend who had a great car. He'd be driving down the expressway, top speed, 62 miles an hour, pouring down rain. He'd turn on the wipers, and they'd just fly off the car for no reason. You see, that's the kind of car we think we're driving. This car that's not certain, that's not sure, that's going to fall apart, that we're going to try to go over a speed bump, and the transmission's going to fall off the back. Right? And so we see everything that's there, and we see the uncertainty of life. We start swerving off. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. We're not driving a subcompact. We're not driving a Yugo. Okay? We're not driving a Lada. Okay? That's the car that the windshield wipers unexpectedly fly off the car at random times. We're not driving, and I mean no disrespect to Yugos or Ladas, but they're kind of known for... Anyway, you get the point. It's not what we're driving. We're not driving these piece of garbage cars. That's not what our faith is. That's not who our God is. He doesn't equip us with a piece of garbage car and say, here's the road, it's straight. Oh, by the way, the adversary is going to be putting all this stuff in. Don't swerve, and if you fall in a pothole, you're stuck. It's not what we're driving. We're driving like a steamroller. Right? I mean, that's what we're driving. It's a bump. Whatever. Pothole? I can take care of a pothole. We're not driving. A skunk? I'll mash that thing. It might stink for a couple of days, but I'm driving right through. But isn't that life? We have the faith and we hold strong to it. And sometimes life stinks and for a couple of days. You got the remnants of what happened 3 days ago. You're still paying for it today. There was a skunk that was hit right up here on the corner. Boy, I avoided that like 2 days in a row. And then I hit it. It was already dead, but you could still smell it at our house. Like whenever you'd bring the van home, you could smell it again. That's life. God says, I'll make your path straight. And He does. He lays out an awesome road for us. An awesome path for our faith to be in Him. He lays out that great road and He says, here it is. And isn't the adversary there at every mile marker? He's there trying to mess it right up. And God just tells us, don't swerve. And all too often, we keep swerving. You're not driving a little garbage car that's going to fall apart. Your faith is stronger than that. You can put any kind of image of what kind of car is able to make it through all that stuff that you want. But that's what your faith is. Don't swerve. Times are uncertain. I live there too. Times are uncertain. God is not. God is not. He remains my rock. My salvation. He remains my shield, my stronghold, my refuge, my strong foundation. God remains that for me because I choose for Him to. Yeah, I admit I've swerved too many times and it didn't do me a lick of good. The Lord gives us this straight road as we trust in Him. Don't swerve. Don't allow the adversary to cause you to swerve. We are not ruled by this world. We are not ruled by this world. We also, are you guys still in Hebrews? Sweet. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12. One of the reasons that we keep swerving off that straight road that God gives us and getting so bogged down by the rest of life, the stuff of life, the uncertainty of life, is because too often our focus on this road isn't far enough in advance. Our focus on the road is what the adversary is throwing right before us. Now, we are aware, as individuals and believers in Jesus Christ, we are aware of the adversary's schemes. We're aware of the devil's schemes. The Word promises us that. But that doesn't mean that we have to only look at the devil's schemes. I knew where the skunk was. It was there for 2 days. The reason I hit it is because I watched it the whole way into my tire. I knew where it was, and I watched it the whole way. I was so focused on that thing that I knew I didn't want to hit. That became the only thing I was looking at. And I hit it. And as believers, isn't that sometimes the way our faith is? We see the adversary throwing these roadblocks up and digging these holes and throwing in the skunks. And we become so focused on what the devil is doing. We become so focused on the garbage of life that that's where we're looking. One car length in front of us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us fix our eyes not on the garbage of life. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. There's still going to be potholes in life. And there's still going to be speed bumps. And they're going to hurt. But we fix our eyes not on that stuff. We fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus. And in him we put our trust. And we keep driving down that straight road that God has laid before us as our trust is in him and in his son Jesus. We keep driving down it. And we continue. And we grow. We don't swerve off. We don't turn around. We don't go back because the devil says it's going to be hard. We keep going. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, it gives us a little bit of encouragement about that journey down the road. Like sometimes we have a false concept that as believers we are escape artists. You know what escape artists are? They get themselves into a bind on purpose and then escape their way out of it. They don't have enough troubles of life that they put themselves in a position of purposeful trouble. I don't have the energy for that. I got enough troubles of life. I don't need to purposely put myself in more. They put themselves in that place and then they escape out of it. Sometimes I think that as believers we feel like God is going to help us to be escape artists. That as we're driving down the road and we've got our eyes fixed on Jesus, that these speed bumps and stuff, God's just going to pick up our bulldozer and move them over them. We're not escape artists. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We're not a conqueror if we're just magically whisked over the bad stuff that happens in our lives. That's not a conqueror. That's an escape artist. We're more than conquerors. Yes, we're going to face stuff in life. At home and at work and with our finances and with our portfolios and with our savings accounts and with our jobs and with our relationships with others, we're going to face that stuff in life. In all those things, you are more than a conqueror. Now would be the time for an amen. In all these things, I knew I'd have to remind you, and that's okay. That's okay. In all these things, you are more than a conqueror. Amen. 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 Do you see that picture that the Word puts before us of our lives and our faith? That picture of that straight road that we're called to be on and follow, to fix our eyes on Jesus, to be looking at Christ, that perfect example for us. Yes, there's a lot of stuff in between. Don't swerve. Hold unswervingly to that hope that you profess in Christ. God has made your path straight. Hold unswervingly. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Amen indeed. I gave you a hint earlier about that verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Same place where we started. We'll read only verse 9, not because we don't like verse 8. We like verse 8 a lot, but we'll read only verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Put it into practice. You believe this stuff. You believed this stuff before even opening the Word this morning. You already have believed this. You've heard it and you know that it's true. Paul says, put it into practice. You've already heard it. You already believe it verbally. Now is the time, in this world of uncertainty in which we live, now is the time that we put it into practice. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to our God in prayer this morning. Great God, we indeed put our trust in you. We fix our eyes on your Son, Jesus Christ, that perfect example for us. We trust in you and know that you have made our way straight. God, we know and proclaim that you are our rock and our salvation, our shield and our strength. And Father, we put our full trust in you. God, our world is messed right up. But we know that you are consistent. We know that you are faithful. For that we not only rest upon, but we proclaim that for our own ears and our own minds. God, we give you praise, and our desire is to not swerve on this road that you've led for us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for that clear path that you've made known to us in your word. Thank you, God, for that strength to make it through each day and each hour and each minute. We rest in you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.